understood was the issue that you wanted me to discuss, but I suspect it's going to take more than one session. It may take three or four. It probably will take more than that. But in the meanwhile, I will also probably discuss David HaMelech as well, since that also was presented to me. But in order to appreciate a little bit of what the issue is, I'm just going to refer you to an overview first. And if you don't mind, an overview 10 Tefachim with reference to Shaul HaMelech. So take a look, starting with, I'm beginning in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes. The ninth parak of Shmuel Aleph, which essentially introduces us to Shaul HaMelech. And what's very fascinating about the original introduction to Shaul HaMelech, how the Navi describes him, and as you indicated correctly, in Tanakh you have to read Psukim very carefully, and you have to read them many, many times, and you have to get a sense of what the Navi is trying to do. So I'm starting with Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi ish bibinyamin ushmo kish ben Aviel ben Tzror ben Bechorat ben Afiach ben Ishimini Gibor Choyel. How is he described? As a warrior. Of course, who is the warrior? Kish. Kish, of course, is the father of Shaul HaMelech. Below Hayabay. Now, this is the second pasuk, which is one of the most famous psukim in Tanakh, that Kish had a son whose name was Shaul. Bachur Batov. Ve'en ish b'mdei Yisrael tov mimeno. What a fascinating description. There was no one as good as he was. Mishichmo v'malo gavoa mikalom. Did anybody translate that? He was head and shoulders above everyone. The pasuk is mind-boggling. Correct? So I want to mention, what would you say is the Navi trying to convey something about his character? Namely, that he had a very lofty character. And clearly, not just a lofty character, an ideal character in terms of, one would say, sterling, midos, etc., etc., things of that sort. The fact that it's called Bachur Batov. You know, this reminds me always, and I imagine you're probably familiar with it, there's another pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel. Turn to Perek Yud Gimel for a second. Pasuk Aleph. Perek Yud Gimel of Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk Aleph. There, and then the context over here, of course, is Ben Shona Shaul B'molcho. Please translate that pasuk. How old was he when he began to reign? If you translate the pasuk literally, it sounds like he was a year old. Of course, that's not what it means. What do Chazal say? The Gemara in Yumach Abdeis. Chazal say, Ben Shana Shalotam Tamchet. He was literally like a child of one, the child of one, as you know, is innocent, and clearly a child of one. Certainly has no concept of Chet whatsoever. And the truth is that this pasuk always reminds me of a Rashi in Parshas Chayesara. Which Rashi am I talking about? A very difficult Rashi. Vayi Chayesara, Meir Shana, V'yesim Shana, V'sheva Shonim, Shnei Chayesara. What does Rashi say over there? A very striking Rashi, a very difficult Rashi. What does Rashi say?
She had the beauty of a young person and a wisdom of an older.
But Rashi's example is that which I'm sure aroused your pique, I have no doubt, and struck your fancy. I'm reading the following Rashi. L'chai Sara. Why does it say Shana three times? When she was 100, it's as if she was 20 years old regarding Chet. Just like a young woman of 20, she's not subject to Onshin. Is that true? At what point does a person become subject to Onshin, a young woman from the age of 12 on a day, correct? So what is it Rashi talking about? The answer is, in Bezdin Shel Malo. Upstairs, they begin to count from when? From 20. So therefore, she is considered to be at the age of 100, as if she were 20. And, says Rashi, Ubaskub, Abbaskub, below Chet, at the age of 100, she was without Chet. By the way, this Rashi, of course, as you can certainly understand, is in disagreement with the Ramban quoted by Harad Apple Shlita today. I've quoted a famous Ramban, which is not a simple Ramban. And the pasuk Bataneh Sarai Batibach Yiponeh. And what does the Ramban say? Chayt Gadol Chata Sarai Yimeinu. She committed a sin when she went ahead and was biyaser whom? Hagar. When she afflicted her. And the Ramban goes further and says, Avram Avinu Bahanichol Asoske. He permitted Sarah, didn't protest, permitted her to do so. That was also a chet. Many Rishonim are cholek on this Ramban. Who else is cholek on the Ramban? Right here, the first Rashi in Chayisara. Ramban says, Ras kuf below chet. She had no sin. And then the Ramban goes further, rather Rashi. I'm sorry. But Rabbi Affel did not quote, but I think maybe he may have mentioned it, but I'm not sure he read it today. That the Ramban at the end of that piece says, you know why we are suffering from B'nai Yishmael Alayam Azeh? Because of that Inui that Sarah afflicted Hagar. What a Ramban. Wow. But the Rashi goes on to say, Ubas Chav Kibazayin Leofi. When she was 20, she was like a young woman of 7 in terms of what? Beauty. That's what you're referring to. So of course, what's the problem with this Rashi? What? How would you have written this Rashi had you been given the
red shirt out? Not like.
Would you have compared a young woman of 20 to a girl of 7 as far as beauty, or for that matter, bas kuf, kibas chaf below chet? What would you have done?
Kibas chaf.
You would turn it upside down.
Yeah.
Correct. You are a wonderful man. Right. Yeah. It's fine. That's not why you're wonderful. Okay, gotcha. There's no connection. So, this Tasha, of course, I heard from whom? The Rav Zechen Rebrocha. When he said a Shir Chayasara, maybe in 1970. I don't recall if it was the late 60s or 1970. The Rav asked this Tasha. So what does the Rav do? Only what the Rav can do. He changed the gear, sir, in Rashi. I was flabbergasted. I didn't know what to do. The Rav said it should be read Bas Chof Kibas. No. I killed it. Yofi. What should be the criteria for Yofi? Not a girl of 7. Girl of 7, you know, look at her in terms of her beauty, but a girl of 20. Uh-huh. Bas Kuf Kibas Chof Yofi. And what about Chet? Bas Kuf Ke Bas Zayin. When it comes to Chet. That's an excellent question. Then I went looking and discovered that it's not Rav Soloveitchik who changed the Girsa. There is another Girsa in Russia, which fits perfectly with the Rav. It's Ben Basket and Baliatesis. Anyway, why do I mention this? Back to this pasuk over here, which show. Namely, it says in Perek Yud Gimel that show Ben Shona B'mocho. And Chazal, the Gemara says in Yuma, Lo Tom Tam Ched. So I'm showing you now two psukim. One at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, where clearly Ben Shona Shol B'mocho. By the way, the interface between Shol and Shmuel is for how long a period of time? Shmuel lived to what age? The right age of 52. That's all. But we see in the Pesukim you can actually deal with that. So Shol and Shmuel really only interacted for how long a period of time? 2 years. Ushtei Shonim Molach Al Yisrael. Is that true? That Shol was only a king for a period of 2 years?
No.
So what is the Pasuk saying? So that we'll have to see. But I still want to present first the issue that I want to discuss. So in order to do that, I'm just going to overview, as I said, starting with the Perek Tes, overview the psukim with the reference to Shul. So follow me now in Perek Tes. I'm going to just give you an overview, if you don't mind. Perek Tes, as you know, focuses on the fact that Kish, the father of Shul, what happened? He lost donkeys. Correct? He tells Shaul, his son, I'm reading Pasuk Gimel, take one of the lads and go look for the donkeys. And so for 3 days, he's looking for the donkeys, he's not successful. And finally, Shaul tells the lad who's accompanying him, we better go back home because maybe father is going to be worried about me. That's a Pasuk K. Did you review all this? I assume you did. I want to just focus on a few pieces of language, if you don't mind, along the way in these 10 Pesukim, and then I'm going to present the question. Which obviously I'm not going to get to resolve today, but I do have a resolution which I think is very significant. So what happened? The lad tells him in Pasuk Vav, Hinei no isha lo kim ba'irazos. What do we have to go and what do we have to search? Let's go to the Navi. And the Navi will tell us exactly where the donkeys are. Correct? So then Shaul says, but there's a problem. Pasuk Zayin, Man Navi lo ish. What are we going to bring him? Are you familiar with this issue in Tanakh? What, do you have to bring the Navi something in order that the Navi should tell you where the donkeys are? You know what that sounds like?
What is it?
Graft. Corruption. I don't know what you want to call it. Whatever you like. It's a fascinating issue mentioned by Mefarshim. You learn Tanakh well. You see this is not an uncommon thing. By the way, who was guilty of this issue? Who was punished with Saras? Namely? Gehazi. Gehazi Umanov. Do you recall that? It's also Haftarah. You must learn Tanakh. You must. It is the Tzav HaShoah. I'm not joking. Every day you have to learn Tanakh. Every single person in this sitting in this room. For how long? As long as you can. I'm not saying you shouldn't learn Sanhedrin either. Of course you have to learn Sanhedrin. You have to do Chazorah. That's correct. But Tanakh, you should learn every day. Just learn the simple Pshat. That's what I do. When I get to the intersections, I'm stuck. And I've gone through Tanakh in the last, I'm not exaggerating, in the last 21 years, maybe 100 times. Just the Pshat. You agree, Yoni?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Anyway, I continue. So what are we going to bring to the Navi? And the lad tells him in Pasuk Ches, I have a Reva Shekel Keset. I'll give it to Nisha Lokim. And then we have a Pasuk that's very important. Pasuk Ches. I'm just going to show you some Sukkim to introduce the topic. Lefonu b'Yisrael, ko amar ha'ish b'lechto lidro she'elokim, l'chu b'nel chad ha'roeh. What is the Navi called in Tanakh? One of the terms that's used. Why is it called a Roeh? That's correct. Kila, who else is called a Roeh? Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's spelled with an ayin. Well, Moshe ha'yaroeh is so Yisrael chosno koi midyan. Roeh means with an ayin. But Moshe was also clearly a Navi, no question about it. But he was called a Roeh. Ki la Navi ha'yom yikarei l'fanim ha'roeh. What is it called, the Navi? Roeh. That's one of the terms. How many terms do you know that describe the Navi in Tanakh? Number one, Navi. Two, Roeh. Three?
Ishalokim.
Four? What'd you say? Sofet. Excellent. These are the four terms that are used in Tanakh to describe the Navi. And they all mean different things, which I can't describe right now. But anyway, I go further. So Shaul says, okay, let's go to Ishalokim. And what happened? Who comes out? Young women. Pasuk Gidal. Lishov Mayim. And he... They say to them, is the Roeh to be found? Is there Shmuel HaNavi around? Yesh. Maher. Wow. Are they talking a lot? So what did Chazal say over here? Why are they talking so much? Because there was a gentleman who was very, very, very handsome. What was his name?
Shaul.
They decided to go and, shall we say, engage in rather lengthy monologue so they can continue to what? To observe him. Chazal, I'm mentioning it for a reason, you'll see in a little bit. And furthermore, you give up. Wow, are they going on? What should they have answered him? There is the Roeh. And that's the end of the story. And look, they are expatiating beyond belief. Because Shaul was very handsome. You remember later? The well-known expression, when something happened, and you tell me what happened, when the gentleman went ahead and apparently bested Shaul, and they came out and they said, Hika Shaul ba'alofa, v'david v'ruvosa. When did that happen? After the killing of? Correct. As they called him, Goliath. Can't deal with it. After they killed Goliath, correct? That's when the women, of course, and that, guess what? What did that do to Shaul HaMelech? That basically, what did it do? That is the understatement of the year. As we'll see in a little bit. Anyway, so they come to the city, and now Shmuel comes to greet them. I'm reading Pasuk Tezvav. V'Hashem Golo, et ozen Shmuel Yom Echad, if they both show, they more. Hashem already, shall we say, preempted. Shmuel told him, next day, Kais Machar, I'm going to send you, look at the language of the Pasuk. Pasuk Tesayin. Eshlach Elecha Ish Me'eretz Binyamin. U'mishachtu the Nagid al Ami Yisrael. What, by the way, is the word Nagid? Nagid is another very significant term. What does Nagid mean in general? How do you translate Nagid? What? No. Nagid. It's a noun. What was that?
We said king. It's like a hat sign, or we
said
king.
A Nagid is a manhi. A Nagid, basically. You ever heard of Shmuel HaNagid? In the back of Masechet Brachos? Of course, there's no one. Anyone learning brachos here? Thank God, no. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so I'm not against brachos. Don't get me wrong. But Rabbi Goldschmidt and I went through this on an ongoing basis. Nagid. refers to a prince or someone who's a manhig, and the question is, when is that Tanakh and when not? But we're going to anoint him, Alami Yisrael, and what will he do? The main problem they have is dealing with the Plishtim. That pasuk, by the way, should remind you of another pasuk. I found where in Sefer Shmos, in Pasha Shmos, with reference to whom? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a kemat identical pasuk. That's what you have to see, by the way, in Tanakh. You have to look for pasukim that occur here and occur there, and then compare them and contrast them and extrapolate from here to there and see l'shamot bakbilot. You see parallel language. Don't you understand that? The only way to do that is by learning Tanakh hundreds and hundreds of times. That's what you got to do. Okay. I read further. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ushmuel ra eshol, Hashem anor, Hashem told him, Hinei ha'isha sharmati lecha zayatzor ba'ami. And then Shaul approached Shmuel and says, Ki'ilu, he doesn't know anything. Only Shmuel knows that that's Shaul. Eizem beit haroeh, where's the house of the Navi? Ayan Shmuel, anochi haroeh. I am the seer. S-E-E-R. Alei lefanei abama. And etc. And it tells him in Pasuk Chav about the Asonas, the donkeys that were lost, etc., etc. And he also goes further and tells him, Ulami kol chendas Yisrael halo lecho lecho beis avicha. It was, in effect, chendas Yisrael is all for you and your parents. So Shaul responds, and this is a very, very significant response. How does he respond to what the Navi is telling him? Basically, what the Navi is telling him, that guess what? You are going to be the king. You're going to be the melech. How does Shaul respond? He is a tremendous honor, tremendous humility and modesty. I'm not worthy. Why are you speaking to me in such terms when I'm not worthy of the post that you want to appoint me to? You want to make me a nogi? Let's say melech, it says nogi. So what happens? How does Shmuel respond to that? He takes him. And he brings him to the head of the table, so to speak. I'm now reading Pasuk Chavim. He gives him the best portion. And then we continue. And we have towards the end of this in Chavav. First they go on the roof. And then Ashkibu B'Yikalos HaShachah V'Yika Shmuel El Shaul Hagag Demar Kuma V'Ashalchecha V'Yakam Shaul. And he and Shmuel go outside. And Shmuel tells Shaul Emor Lanar, etc., etc. And I'll tell you the Dvar Elokim. That's Pasuk, that's Perek Tes. The Pasuk Aleph and Perak Yud, Vayikach Shmuel as Pach Hashem, Vayitzeh Baboshah Vishokeru. Vayom Haloki Mishokach Hashem, Al Nachaloso, Lin Nogid. By the way, let me ask you a question. Is Shaul ever described as a Melech? Is that term, of course, obviously, he's going to become the Melech. He was actually the first king. And was that possible for him to be the first king when you, all of you, are quite aware of a pasuk in Vayechi? What does it say in Vayechi? Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, Umechokim Yibet Raglov, Aki Yavo Shiloh, Velo Yikasami. Where does Malchus come from? Which Shevet?
Yehuda.
How in heaven's name could Shaul become a Melech? Is that not a violation of a Pasuk Yechumish? So you know the Ramban over there, I'm sure you're familiar with it. I'm sorry? So the Ramban asked this Kasha. But the Ramban asked the Kasha in the context of the Maccabim. How in heaven's name could the Maccabim? I'm not sure I fully grasp what you just said. Who's they? Oh, you don't mean intermarry. Ah, she wants them together. Say no more. Okay, I just misunderstood you. I'm sorry, I apologize. But I'm saying, but the Ramban there on that pasuk in the other by the people, and also Shevet Yehuda, indicates that Malchus comes from Shevet Yehuda. So the problem is the Maccabim. Says the Ramban, they violate an Allah. Allah in the Torah. Who disagrees with them? The Ramban. The Ramban is Chanukah. Disagrees with the Ramban. But the Ramban says, Omru al Tzavah as Hazokin. They violated the Tzavah of Yaakov Avinu, Yasser Shem, Yehuda, Muchokin Bein Magla. But there's another problem. Shaul HaMelech. Is he also not in violation? I mean, it wasn't his idea. You know, the Navi comes to him, and obviously it's Hashem's idea. But there's a problem. How do you deal with the Pasuk? So what's the answer? The Ramban and many Rishonim deal with the answer, so you have to deal with this question. So let's assume that his Malchus was only going to be of a provisional nature, of a temporary nature. But is that true? No. We'll read the Pesukim. The impression is that he now anoints him. I'm reading further. I just want to give you the overview before I present the question. I guess I'm not going to get to the answer today because I won't. It may take me two or three a 4, a 5, or a 6, a 7, or 8 session. But I'll get to double that out too, I promise you. Believe that there? I'll try to. Anyway, I'll reach further. Because I see you have to read the psukim, I just want to make it clear for you. Also, I want to focus on the number of the lashonos. I just want to share with you because it's important in order to appreciate what I'm going to say. So the pasuk goes on to say, very good, that Shmuel tells him, when you leave me, you'll find two people, correct? And you will, they will tell you that they found the donkeys that you were looking for, because your father's already worried about it. And then subsequently, there's another very fascinating interaction of what's going to take place, and you're going to go to the Givas Elokim, and there you have, shall we say, take a look at Pasuk K. I'm meaning Pasuk K now, in Perek Yud, you have it? Achar kein tavo Givas Elokim, asher shom, nitzivei plishtim, v'hikivach hashom v'ir, and what will you encounter? You show will encounter Chevel Levim, Yordim Yababa. You'll encounter a group of Levim, who are coming down from the high place, and v'lefneim, nevel, v'tov, v'chalav, v'chino, v'hem, v'misnabim. This is a very important pasuk, because, as you know, a Navi can only be misnabe in what kind of a context? Where there's a context of simcha, of joy. If there's no context of simcha, a Navi cannot operate. Only when there's a context of simcha. How do I know that, by the way? That's true? How do I know that a Navi can only operate? Bring me a raya from Brisei Liberations.
With Abraham and the...
I don't think that is a good raya. I think a better raya is in the brachas that were given to whom?
No,
the brachas to the Shvatim, where do you see that the context is one of Simcha? Where do you see that? Over there, that parasha. I think a better raya would be brachas that were given by who, to whom? Yes.
Is that why the Levim have to sing?
Levim, are they considered to be Levim?
No, I'm saying to keep everyone from spirits
out. No, the singing of Levim is a din the Beis HaMikdash. They were Shorim and Meshorim. That's their function, to be the gatekeepers and also to...
Abraham and Yitzchak would be...
Who gave the brachas to whom? Yitzchak gave the brachas to Yaakov. And what exactly is going on there? There's a very lengthy discussion about what? What should... Correct. Namely, what is he supposed to bring to him? Exactly. You have a chumash by any chance? Oh, you have a Tanakh, so of course you have a chumash. Take a look, I want to show you. You know, a number of years ago, you know what I did here? I gave a course on the Vua. But in order to do that, it took me 2 years. But take a look at the psukim here. I just want to show you what I'm talking about. In Perek Chav Zayin, it's still there, Baruch Hashem. Perek Chav Zayin told us, that you have Chav Zayin told us, and so I want to show you the psukim, because you can then appreciate it. Yitzchak is older, and now he calls Esav, he says him, I don't know when I'm going to die, please go take your bow and arrow, and do what? Vaseli matamim, pasuk dalit. Kasher hafti, v'yavili v'yochei l'babur, tivarecha nafshi b'terem omus. In order that Yitzchak should be able to give a bracha to Esav, he has to be, as Sam just pointed out, in a state of, shall we say, of joy. And that comes about, ein simcha ela b'basa v'yayin. Now take a little bit further. So Rivka, of course, overhears the conversation, and she says to Yaakov, I just heard what your father said to Esav, in Pasuk Zayin, Avi'ali Yitzayin, v'asili matamim b'yocheilu, v'arech l'nei Hashem v'nei Mosi, and then she tells him what to do. And now, going back a bit later, you'll see what I'm talking about when he arrives in the scene, Yaakov, of course he comes first. Look at Pasuk Yitess, v'ayom Yaakov alaviv, anochi Esav v'charecha, I'm not discussing that problem right now, Rashi, all the Rishonim, asisik asher dibarte, l'kum noshva, v'yoch l'mitzedi b'abur, t'rachani nafshecha. And the Torah goes on even further. When he says, are you my son Esav? He says, yes. And then look at the pasuk in Chafei. V'ayom ha'gishu li v'yoch l'mitzedi b'ni l'man t'rachani nafshi, v'yakish lo v'yoch l'vayove lo. What else did he bring him? Yayin, because ain't simcha, oh, v'asav yayin. It's not my trap. Who says this? The Rambam, Rambam, they point out that in the Nebuah can only be in the context of Simcha. And that's why you have this discussion. Going back over here. Yeah.
Okay, there's no need to...
Yonah became a Navi according to Tesis and Sukkah, it was in Yerushalmi, when he entered the Beis HaMikdash, where there's a, shall we say, a total atmosphere of Simcha. The Beis HaMikdash is certainly the Simcha. That's when he became a Navi. In order for one to become a Navi, it has to be Simcha.
But I'm saying, he got Nebuah in, when he, in the whole situation, didn't Hashem accompany him when he was on the boat, in the bottom of the boat, when there,
That is correct, but he was a Navi before then. Tosfos
and Sukkah. Or he's saying to become a Navi.
Yes, to become a Navi.
Oh, okay.
But in general, the context of Nebuah is one that should be one of Simcha, and there are many writings for this. You have to learn the Rambam. You know, the Rambam in two places. The Rambam, you said, has several chapters devoted to the Bua, but I think it's even better to learn the Rambam in Mar Nebuchad. The Mar Nebuchad, there are, the way to remember it is from chapter 32 to chapter 48. How do you remember it? Milei Bad Moach. I make all these acronyms for myself. Milei Bad Moach, from Perek Lama Beis to Perek Lama Ches. The Rambam discusses all the Kol Yadavua. This is one of the Kol Yadavua. It has to be the matzah of Simcha. Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, is this to say that in any time that you have your word, the Nevi'im are drunk, Chas V'Sholom?
Not drunk, Chas V'Sholom. It doesn't say that
he became
drunk. Chas V'Sholom, but not drunk. A person, in effect, it's true what you're saying, you drink a Revi'i Siyayin, then you have Simchas Torah, so then a Kohen can't do it. But as far as, this is not drunkenness, this is just to create a atmosphere of Simcha. If you look here, you see I'm talking about, I'm reading in Shmuel, Aleph Perek Yud, in Pasuk Vav Zayin. You see Pasuk Vav Zayin? It means there's a discussion of Nevel, of a Tov, of a Chol, of a Kino, of musical instruments that are brought to create an atmosphere of joy. What is a Navi? A Navi is transformed and a metamorphosis into a new person. This is a famous Pasuk, which is talking about Shaul HaMelech. Apparently he also, in effect, had some sort of Nevuah. Besides being a Nogi and becoming a Nimshach by being anointed by Shmuel, there's an element of the Nevuah. Look further. I'm just reading the next series of Tzogim. And then there's a Zifte Shlom that's involved over here, but it's a very important Pasuk, Pasuk Ches. According to Chazal, there are two major Chatoyim of Shaul. What are they? If you read these 10 Tzogim, you certainly know them. Chet number one?
He didn't wait for Shmuel.
Correct, that's right. We're going to mention in a moment. And Chet number two? Correct. By, what's his name? The Melech HaMolech, his name is? Agag Melech HaMolech. Those are the two Chatoim, according to Chazal, of Shaul. No other Chatoim.
What? When he went to the sorceress or something.
Now that, per se, again, it's not considered by Chazal to be, even though you're asking mitzvah the Pasuk of Chumash over Yedoni, when he had to go and conjure up, if you will, Shmuel for the day, because he had an issue, and he had to discuss it with him, so to speak. Yeah. Clearly it was inappropriate behavior. However, Chazal don't consider that to be a chet per se. And I just want to go a little bit further over here, just a few more things while I'm at it. And so here, you notice that Pasuk Ches. V'yavada telefonai ha-gilgul v'nei anochi yoreda lecha la'alos olos v'zbar zid v'shom shivas yomim tochel ad-boe lecha. How many days should you wait? One full week. Once a week is passed, then I will tell you what you have to do. And as you understood correctly and mentioned correctly, that's not what happened. Look at Pasuk Yud. Vayam Hashem Hagibasu v'necham Levi'im l'krasso v'atitzam alav ruach alokim v'aisnam v'psochon. And furthermore, in Pasuk Yud Alav, one of the most famous sukkah of the Tanakh, v'yi kol yodo v'yid mol shilsho v'yu v'ne'im Levi'im diva. He's prophesying. V'yom ha'am, ishoyim, mazah ha'yodo ben kish. What got into him? Agam sho'ul ba'levi'im. Is Shaul also among the Nevi'im? We know Shaul is a Melech, Shaul is a Nogi. But is he a Nogi? Now the Tzukim described as a Nogi. Vayad, Yish Mishon, etc. Vayom, Avi, Avim, Akin, Hoysan, Lamashal, Agam, Shaul, Banavim. So now, I just want to read a bit further, and you'll see one or two other things. And now, in Pasuk Yitzayin, all the way till Kimat, this parak you should know, because this parak, the parak Yud, deals with what is known as Mishpat Hamelucha, which of course is found in what parak of Sanhedrin? The second parak that you learned, and Achof, where the Gemara is based purely on these psukim. And Shmuel goes into a lengthy dialogue with Hashem, if you will, or kind of a monologue actually, and indicates that what is going on here, you actually rejected Hashem, and you asked for a king, and clearly something which is inappropriate, and then he does a goral, namely a lottery takes place, the Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Very good, Pasuk Chavalov. Vayakrev Hashem ben Yamin l'mishpachosav, vatilach l'mishpachas ha-matzvi. Vayilach et Shaul ben Kish. And finally, of course, who is the one that's chosen in this lottery to become the king? Shaul. And they ask, Vayishalu av Hashem, hava od hava mish, vayom Hashem yinei hu. And how is he described? Another very important Pasuk. Nechma al ha-kelim. The second time that Shaul is described as what? What is the expression Nechma al ha-kelim in modern Hebrew parlance? Modest beyond belief. Hiding where? Hiding?
Literally.
Hiding in the baggage. And they have to go ahead. And this, by the way, is one of the elements of Shaul that's very characteristic of Shaul HaMelech. Tremendous Anava. Now, of course, we'll see one of the problems that Shaul has the anav was excessive, and also not befitting the king. Because the king has to be, shall we say, someone who is emerges from the, how shall we put it, emerges from the pack, and has to, shall we say, take aggressive kinds of actions, and the king has to be a leader, the king has to show, has to demonstrate leadership and the like, and he clearly is someone who is very much, is not in sync with his personality. He's described earlier, as I pointed out to you, and now he's Nechbal HaKelim, go ahead, yeah. No, it's fine. Again, described earlier, he's head and shoulders. I'm not referring to the shampoo. Head and shoulders above everyone else, correct? It could very well be also he was very tall, very imposing looking. It's very possible. It's not clear in the psukim, but he's someone clearly of stature. And Vayom Shmuel Kalam, Hareisem Hashem Bachar Hashem, Hashem Bachar Hashem, he's chosen by Hashem. Again, another, I would say, unbelievable statement. There's no one like him anywhere. You know what they say? Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Or whatever other kind of, shall we say, shvachim that they praise the king. But then now we have the famous pasuk that you are familiar with from Sanhedrin. And Shmuel then sends the people home. Shaul goes home as well, but of course there's always an opposition. Pasuk of Zayin, let's pasuk at Berak Yud. Uvnei Bliyal Omer, Vayoshienu Zeh, Vayivzu. What is this upstart thing? He is, whom does he think he is? He's going to go ahead and become a king. And what does he do? He is quiet. Now again, how should a melech respond? Is someone, at the beginning of his, shall we say, melucha. He just became the king. And then a whole bunch of upstarts, I would call them ragged urchins at best. What do they do? They are mevazahim. Who are you? You blankety blankety blank. What's his reaction? Doesn't respond, doesn't react. Is that the way a king should react to a bunch of ragged urchins? Of course not. Chazal speak a lot about this, about his anova, excessive modesty, that became actually, to a large extent, something that was really, that really did him in, if you will. I'm going to show you that in a little while. Yes. Just move the clock back an hour. Yes.
These people in
Zion,
are they
considered worthy of office? Excellent, Kasha. Of course, the answer is yes. Chazal, talk about it right over here. I want to just now read a few more brachim. Just and now I'll present the question because you still don't know the question.
I understand the question.
Oh, you're getting. I'm getting there. Yes.
After David kills Goliath and he started chasing him in the river, didn't that not make him so humble?
I am going to, because of you and others who asked me that, I plan on discussing that as well. That's the end of Shaul HaMelech's life, which really is very, very, which casts a pall on his whole character. But the issue that I'm really raising, I'll mention it right again, is that there's a discrepancy seemingly between how Chazal see him and how the Pesukim seem to describe him. Right now he is clearly, Baruch Hashem, outstanding. But and when we read the Pesukim, that's what you just mentioned as well, that seems to cast a shadow or a pall on his character, which is not in sync with Chazal. That's my problem. But that's your problem. And that's the issue I want to address. And I'm going to address it, but it's going to take your time, only because I want to show you the Pesukim. If you don't see the Pesukim, then I'm just really not doing justice to the whole issue. So now, next paragraph. Here we have, again, this is a classic in Tanakh. Lachasha Amoni. I love that fellow's name. Kishmo Kehu. He is a schlong in the veld, a snake in the grass. And he decides to go ahead and, guess what, attack the people of Yavish Gilad, and they are simply beside themselves. And right away, what does he tell them? Yes, I'm willing to have a covenant with you. But b'tnai, that I will do what? Gouge out each one of you, your right eye. Nice fellow. I love these guys. And of course, that was done for two reasons. One, to show that he is the
dominant,
and two, to embarrass them, to humiliate them. And now, Pasuk Gimel. Vayomri Elav Zikne Yavish. They said, Herachon Shivas Yomim. 2 or 7 days. You know, they were obviously in a state of panic. V'nishlucha Malacha V'chol Gvul Yisrael. V'imein Moshiach Osanu. If no one comes to help us, then we surrender. You'll take out each one of our right eyes. Pashut, we can't even begin to fathom this kind of absolutely unconscionable, horrific, horrendous kind of behavior. So what happened? Of course, who were they going to run to? Shaul. Pasuk Dal. Vayomer HaMelech Gibeah Shaul. Vayidaber HaDvarim Rav Nehoam. And he began to cry. He is a king, anointed by Shmuel. But where is he? With the flock. A shepherd. Why are you crying? They tell him what happened. When he heard this, he's of course filled with a sense of absolute venom, indignation. What does he do? He takes a tzemet bakar, a yoke, and he cuts it into two. He sends to all Gvul Yisrael, whoever does not come to battle after myself and Shmuel, that's what's going to happen to his flock. And of course, they're frightened stiff. And then we have a pasuk chesed, a famous pasuk, Ayyuk Kedei Bebozik. How does he count then? Now they'll count Jewish people directly. How do people count today? Not one, not two, not three, not four. Or how else do they count? I'm sorry? Suki, or Oshia Sarek, correct? Or Bebozik. What is Bebozik? You know Bezek, the electric company? They're doing well over here in this country. I have a chaver Nanana. He's been out of Chashmal for the last 40 hours, 50 hours. They're nice. We're like one of the third world countries. Anyway, if I look at him a buzzer, I don't want people in America to think that I think highly of Eretz Israel and the state of Israel. There's a lot of wonderful people here, but sometimes. But you know something? I was in Hurricane Sandy. And you know something? People were out of Chashmal for how long?
8 weeks.
Correct. So relative to what happens over there, we are in Gadeh. Okay. Vayikdin the Bozek, and then it tells you the number of people, and he tells them, go tell the people in Yavish Gilad, tomorrow I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to help you, etc., etc. And Pasuk Yud Aleph Vayim Mimachos, and Shaul goes into action, and guess what? Etc. etc. And Noah's going to save them, and that's exactly basically what happens over here. And now in Pasuk Yudala, the end of Yud, Shmuel says, "Let's go." Now we have a problem. Of course, he should ask right away. I thought he already was anointed king, and now once again, and Chazal talk about this. Why the second time? The answer is the first time he was just anointed, and now. What? Almost like a public proclamation. At this point, he became the king. Yeah.
I had another question here.
Good.
Because we said that they'll go down to Gilgal and bring Zvachim as Korbanam. That's what Shmuel had originally said to Shaul. And so we see that that's happening here. But then two Korban later, I think, when they fight the Philistine, that's where we're talking about Shaul sinning because Shaul brought these Korbanam in Gilgal. But it seems like they've already brought the
Korbanon
and Gilgal together, which was
what... Which Pukkum are you referring to later on? You have to show me the Pukkum again, I'm sorry, if you don't mind. If you can find them, I'll appreciate that.
We said...
Where the Pukkum later that you're mentioning?
When Shaul sings.
Right, right. Could you actually find the Pasuk, if you don't mind? I apologize. See, I have my... have to find them inside. You'll look for them, okay? And then in a few moments, you'll tell me. I just want to go one or two more things. So now we have Pasuk Perek Yubei is also a famous pasuk that Shmuel tells the people that here I gave you a king and now the king is in front of you. I'm already older and you should know basically that I'm someone who didn't take anything. Shmuel Chazal described also Gemara Brachos. He was never there from anybody. Shmuel was a tzaddik beyond belief. By the way, Shmuel really served in two roles. What were his two roles? Number one, he was a
Navi,
and two. He was a shofar. He was a kind of shofar. He's really the bridge between what and what in the shoftim and the melacha. That's what Shmuel is. That's how Chazal and the Rishonim point out. Well, that's correct. Excellent. That's, by the way, what Shmuel did was exceptional. You know, the Rav has this whole thing about tshuva. And the Rav quotes that pasuk that you're referring to. That Shmuel... Where did Shmuel live, by the way? Shavel Beso, Givat Shaul, right over here. Correct? That's where he lived. Shovel based on, but he used to travel all around in order to deal with the issues and try to help Klal Yisrael. But eventually he had to go back home. So Al-Salvesh, he uses that in the Ala Tshuva, the same that I'm very fond of. In the Ala Tshuva, which I told you to read, where the Rav said eventually, a Baal Tshuva may move off the Derech and may even sometimes really, shall we say, Rachman Mutzan falter, and sometimes even go below that, but eventually he has to come back home. Come back home means come back to Ribbono Shel Olam, come back to his neshama, come back to his. And the Rav uses that pasuk that he just referred to Shmuel, namely Shav El Beisov. After all of his circuit, going on the circuit, he then eventually comes back home, and even the Batshuva, also the Avera, the Balabarian, also eventually has to come back home. Very beautiful mashal. Okay, I want to show you now in the Yud Beis, just if I can summarize the pasuk over here, in Perek Yud Beis, you found it, exactly. When you find it, you'll tell me. In Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Vav, now these have a whole series of pasukim where Shmuel more or less goes through the history of Klal Yisrael in terms of Mitzrayim, what happened with Sisra, and on, and we cried out to Hashem, and then Hashem sent all kinds of. By the way, this Perek Yud Beis is more or less a precis of what Sefer? Sefer Shoftim. What? How would you summarize Sefer Shoftim?
They sinned,
and then Hashem abandoned them to whom? To all the, how shall we call them? They are correct, not just pushed them, but the other who predators who preyed on us. And then Hashem had to go ahead and send a, correct, a malach to save us. And then what happened? The Chos and Chalila, that's what he describes over here. In Perek Yubayis, Kiman Shmuel's entire peroration is devoted to that. You see what I'm talking about, Sam? Take a look in Perek Yubayis, starting from Pasuk Vav. He goes through the history, correct? Klal Yisrael, Yaakov goes to Mitzrayim, we cry out to Hashem, he sends Moshe V'Aaron, and they say Klal Yisrael. Then Pasuk Tes, Vayishkechu es Hashem Elokeim. Of course, once we are sitting pretty, what do we do, Klal Yisrael? Once again, we go into the doldrums. And we forget about Hashem. And then what does he send? Sisra, another nice fella. And Plishtim, Yad Melech Moab. And once again, Pasuk Yud, Vayishkechu es Hashem. We say, Chatos Yavisi, Vashayti, etc. Vanavar Sabolim, say, help us! S.O.S. Who does Hashem send? Yerubal, Bedon, Yiftach. Who are these people, by the way? One of them is Shimshon. Chazal pointed out, he's mentioned here in the pseudonym. And Shmuel, and he saves you. No, next. Batiru Kinochim Melech Ne'am Abba Alechem. And right away, we need a king. This, by the way, is all. This is essentially Sefer Shoftim. Look at Sefer Shoftim for 1 second in Perek Beis. I assume you're familiar with Shoftim, because it precedes Shmuel, so therefore you certainly must have learned it. Look at Perek Beis. You'll see Perek Beis. Shoftim is basically a precis of the entire Shoftim. And that is exactly parallel to this parak I'm showing you right now in Perek Beis. You see in Shoftim, Perek Beis, starting from Pasuk Yedal. You see, Sam? Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sarab b'nei Hashem. Vayadu esar bolim. Vayasu es Hashem l'ki avosam. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We abandoned him. We, of course, decide to go ahead and worship idolatry. And as a result, Pasuk Yedal, Vayichav Hashem Yisrael, Vayidnei b'yad shosim b'yosh shosu osam. Translate. Hashem gives it over to whom? Predators, plunderers, those who prey on us. Shosim is a critical word. And by Yimkrim Yadavim, he saw it, and then we can't do it. And what happens? Of course, right away, next, Pasuk Tes. Lord, by Yomkrim Hashem, Shoftim, by Yashim, to save us from these plunderers. Of course, do we listen to the Shoftim? Yeah, when they save us. And then what do? We go right back on our merry way, and once again, I'm in the Zorah. And then again, Pasuk Yitches over there, paragraphs of Shoftim. And then, Pasuk Yitches, once he dies, guess what? We go right back to our merry way. Right back to our former, shall we say, mores. And then guess what happens? That's what you did. I'm going to send those plunderers after you. And the Chazal Chalila. So that's what you have here in Perek Beis. I'm back to Shmuel Al. If you don't mind, exactly the same description as you can see, the parallel. You see that? Benny, are you with us? Yeah. The same parallel exactly. And the reason why I'm mentioning here in Perek Beis, because of course, Shmuel at the end, what does he tell him? If you will fear Hashem, and the king also will in effect follow Hashem's ways, and then of course everything will be Tati Tati. You'll be in an ideal world. Everything will be beautiful. Everything will be Ramei Natachdon in paradise and on and on and on. And that's why at the end of the parak, list from Yud Kessel, Lord Tichapei, Vayu Kishmuel Hashem, Vayu Tanashem Kolos Anadar, and Shmuel, in effect, indicates to the people that make sure you hold on to Hashem and the Torah, etc. Now we have Perak Gimel. I'll just try to summarize it a bit faster. Wow, I'm not doing too well over here. We really have to change the clock now. So from 10 o'clock is Motzei Shabbos, and we'll change the clock back. So that was only 6 o'clock. Okay? Good. So now, I'm just jesting because I know it's not fair. I have to be... I wouldn't mind doing it. I can go on forever. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to do it. just to be fair. What's in Perek Yud-Gimel? Perek Yud-Gimel is a description of the chet that you mentioned, Zach, namely, that Shaul now, of course, by the way, Shaul is heavily involved with whom? Plishtim. They're one of our favorite, how should we call them? A favorite nemesis. Is Plishtim, especially in the days of Shaul, also David HaMelech. And then we have Shaul taking them on, correct? And that's in Pasuk Kei, in Pasuk Vav. And they see the situation, and we're, of course, running for our lives. We go into a panic mode. And then, now look at Pasuk Chesed. I just want to get this done tonight. Vayochel Shivas Yom Vamoyah Asher Shmuel. Shmuel didn't come. Vayom Shaul. Hagishu Alai Ha'olah Vashlom. I thought you're referring to that Pasuk, Zach. Ha'olah Vashlom. Vayal Ha'olah. Vayik Ha'olah Ha'olah Ha'olah. And guess what? He didn't wait to bring the Kabbalahs till Shmuel came. And that was Chet number one. And then, guess what? Shmuel comes. Like 2 seconds later. Vayetz Shaul the cross. So Shaul thinks, everything is what? I am. Did everything I possibly could do. Vayom Shmuel, may I see, so what did you do? Vayom Shmuel. Now he presents his explanation of why he behaved as he did. Namely, he tries to what? Rationalize his behavior. Chazal, take him to task for this next pasuk, which I have to discuss in great length. Okay, I'm going to, but not now, because it's almost 7 o'clock. I just want to say the following. The issue I'm going to discuss is, how do you reconcile Chazal, speak of two chatoim, with the personality of Shaul that seems to be actually rather markedly different than what Chazal described Shaul HaMelech? I'm also going to talk about as well, how does Shmuel see Shaul? Shmuel is a very critical figure, even though for only 2 year period. How does he see Shaul? How does he view him? Okay, I need 100 hours. I'm not joking. But I think this is important, this backdrop. Otherwise, you can't appreciate what's going on here. Because how many times have you read this book? I've read them over 100. And I can't imagine you've done that. Yes, because they're younger. But if it's a sham, you're going to do it many more times than I did. Not just you. You collectively, obviously. Okay, so that's important to get the backdrop of the psukim, so to appreciate what I'm going to say.